Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me today is Michael Corbin. Michael is an avid collector who has used his love of contemporary art to create a brand name series of illustrated books and one-of-a-kind websites. So far, Michael has written and produced two books, Art in King-Size Bed and The Art of Everyday Joe, both books carrying the subtitle A Collector's Journal. They are memoirs designed to spread art appreciation and promote the work of emerging artists. His latest, The Art of Everyday Joe, has won 6 national literary awards and remains in the running for several more honors. Michael is also a full-time broadcast journalist who now resides in Indianapolis, Indiana. To date, his career has taken him from New York City to St. Petersburg, Florida, and Detroit, Michigan to Richmond, Virginia. And still, it is art that remains his passion and primary reason for travel outside of his career. Michael has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Communications and Political Science from Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. He has been active in every community in which he has resided, volunteering his time for various organizations that range from public schools to hospice to the American Cancer Society. Seeing art in practically all things, his latest effort is an art collector profile in the October 2009 issue of American Style magazine. He is currently at work on his third book in his Collector's Journal series. Michael's website is artbookguide.com. So that said, welcome to the program, and thanks so much for joining us today, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me, Juanita. This is great being here.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, we know that this is a book, this new book. It's about contemporary art. So how did you actually come up with this unique title, The Art of Everyday Joe?
You know, there are so many people out there, I think, who are intimidated by art, art museums, art galleries, and so on, and I was as well. But then one day I decided that really what I wanted to write about was my art experiences in a down-to-earth, friendly, fun kind of way. In other words, this would not be another textbook about art or an academic exercise in art. I am an everyday Joe, an everyday person, and I really wrote this book for the quote-unquote everyday Joe. It's actually a journal of my own personal experiences collecting art and meeting artists and traveling. I travel around a lot and really connecting with people in the art world. It's my hope that through my own personal experience, people will learn more about art and develop really their own personal relationship with art and not be intimidated by it.
Well, why do you think people are so intimidated by art?
I think there is so much mystery surrounding art, and quite frankly, a lot of it is created by the art world itself. Mm. Scholars are really the only people you ever really hear talking about art, and when we do hear about art in the media anyway, it's usually when someone finds a $20 million Jackson Pollock behind a wall in their basement, or a famous painting has been stolen from a museum from Europe or somewhere. However, I think my role is to remind people that there are literally thousands of living, breathing, working artists out there today, many of whom create great work that's accessible and affordable.
Mm. So you are a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
You have been for about 20 years, but you're not an arts journalist, and you actually don't have a professional background in the art world. So tell us how you can write about art without an extensive background in it.
Isn't that funny? Well, I knew, one, that as a journalist, I had the ability to write and really make subjects relatable to everyday people. No, I don't have a formal art education, but I think that what I do really have that connects with people is a passion for art. And that really began when I was a public school kid in New York City, and I remember visiting the Museum of Modern Art and the Metropolitan Museum of Art doing field trips, you know, school field trips. I really fell in love with art way back then, and my love for it is even stronger now. And I think that people will connect with that in reading the books. It's really about the connection between myself and the reader.
So it's only been, though, in recent years that you started collecting art or even writing in your journals. So take us back and tell us what happened between the time you were a kid and now. You're in your mid-40s.
That's right, and that really, I think, is the best part. During that entire time, I kept visiting museums and galleries. However, I always walked away feeling sort of empty and sad about the experience. I felt that, like, writing about what I had experienced, but I kept telling myself, what's the point? I'm not an art scholar. I'm not a historian. But one day I just gave in to my childhood passion for art, and I just started writing. It was, and the writing became a tidal wave. The writing did not stop. I would have to also say that by this time I was well into collecting, and I kept talking with different artists about how they were personally struggling to make a living in a world that really doesn't appreciate art. And so I was really filled with this sense of mission for the artist as well as for, you know, the love for art itself. The next thing I knew, I had my first book after, you know, writing all of that, Art in King Size Beds, A Collector's Journal, and that came out in 2006. I really think, though, Juanita, the lesson here is if you feel that something in your life is missing, really look back at your childhood and what you enjoyed doing as a kid, your childhood passion. If you can figure out a way to bring that back into your life, you won't be sorry because you have a fantastic opportunity there to reconnect with perhaps what it is you should be doing in your life anyway.
And with so many people making a transition and a change in their life right now, that's fantastic advice.
Thank you. I think so.
So you had this passion and this writing ability, but still with really, Michael, no former art education. How did you navigate the publishing world and find a publisher that was really willing to publish your books?
You know, that's the tough part. I think most authors can tell you that, you know, finding a publisher and working your way through the publishing world is extremely difficult. I have so many people now who tell me that they would love to write a book, and I always think to myself, Godspeed, you know, because it's not going to be easy. For me, I think writing the book and actually putting the book together was the easy part. But I would say that for about a year and a half, I really flooded art book publishers with my manuscript, and I have to say it was torture waiting all of that time for responses. However, for the most part, my manuscript was well received, I would say. I have some of the nicest, warmest rejection letters. but really, as time went on, I got more and more concerned because I really felt that maybe somebody out there was going to steal my idea. So as a result of that, I decided to just go on ahead and create a series of books and publish the books myself. I did some research online and found Author House, which is located in Bloomington, Indiana. They are a fantastic company. They're full of creative, caring people who love books and want to support emerging writers the way I like to support emerging artists. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like I'm doing a commercial for Author House, but it's really not about that. Mm-hmm. I think it's about finding, as an author and as a writer, you want to find an organization that you feel can get behind you and really support you in what you're doing. And I think in my particular case, finding an independent publisher, perhaps, you know, not an organization that's a mainline publisher, worked best for me.
You know, and that is really a big part of your message because you do a lot of work with the independent artists and emerging artists.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important because the issue that kept coming to mind for me was, how could I deal with a mainline publisher knowing that I had gotten permission from independent artists to actually reprint their work? These are people who have really gone it alone, quite frankly, and continue to do so. So I thought, you know what, I have to figure out a way to get the book published, yet still have a sense of independence and still own my own copyright, which I do, and it's just a spectacular feeling. You know, the books that I produce are really my books. I own the copyright. They belong to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the same for many artists. They own their work, they own their copyright, and really that's what it's all about for me anyway.
And yet many authors actually consider it's the ultimate to get signed with a mainline publisher.
You know, I guess you should never say never, but I really can't say that I would necessarily consider that success, going with a mainline publisher. I think that I went through all of the rejection so that I could be here really talking about it. I think that I had to learn how to actually walk my talk, if you will. If I'm claiming to support independent artists who are allowing me to reprint their images, as I said, of their paintings in my books, then shouldn't I also be independent? So fortunately, I can support myself as a journalist. That's my full-time job and career. But I think that I was really looking for a creative outlet outside of my career. And I think it's tough to be truly creative without having that independence.
So tell us a little more about this book, The Art of Everyday Joe. It's a compilation of essays and photographs of art from your own personal collection.
Mm-hmm.
But not all the essays are about art. So tell us a little more about the whole concept of this book.
Well, the plot thickens, I would say. Here's the thing. I love writing about art in unconventional ways, and quite frankly, that's the only way that I can do it, not having, you know, a formal art education. My books are not just about art per se, as in paintings or sculpture. I really love linking art to the things of everyday life. For example, there's an essay in Everyday Joe called Bubble Wrap. It's about the experience of unwrapping a painting that has just arrived in the mail. I also have an essay in the book called Sweet Tooth, which is about how much I love desserts. And next to the essay, we printed a photograph of a painting of a pineapple cheesecake. It's a beautiful painting. And that painting is done by Elijah Aaron Carey, who lives in New Jersey. I also wrote an essay in the book called December in Deutschland, and that particular essay is about my experience one Christmas in an airport while my artist friend Matthew Bill, who lives in Germany, was working on a painting that he later sold to me and allowed me to call the painting December in Deutschland.
Mm.
Through the book, I really want people to see that it's really okay to have your own personal relationship with art. I think that's the whole point.
Do you think that even though people have their own personal relationship, that relationship is... there's common ground?
Yes, I would say that. I think that one of the hindrances, though, to people having their own personal relationship, again, is the intimidation and the feeling that they have to know a lot about art. I see my books as sort of a bridge between the person who is afraid to even walk into an art gallery or a museum and the other side of the bridge would be, you know, taking a class in art history or talking to a docent in an art museum. I really want people to know that it's through their personal relationship that they may decide to, you know, go back to school and get more formal education about art. I'm sort of in that area myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the commonality comes when you actually make the jump and decide to make your first art purchase, or you decide to, you know, visit that art museum in your community again, or go to an art gallery and maybe buy a painting.
Do you remember your first purchase?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I don't remember. I think I wrote about it in my first book, Art in King Size Bed. I think it was something that I actually saw online. I vaguely remember it being an abstract painting. I think the thing that I remember most about it is not necessarily the purchase itself, but the feeling of gratification that I got. You know, I always tell people all it takes is one purchase of an original painting from a living artist, and you will be hooked. The creativity and the sense of accomplishment and what original art does for you in your life is really fantastic.
So what is it like for you living with art, and how many pieces do you have, and what in particular are you collecting?
I have everything.
Really?
I have abstracts. I have figurative realist paintings, nude, limited edition photographs. You name it, I pretty much have it. Every day I feel really like I live in an art gallery. I think that art makes you feel wealthy, not really in a elitist, snobbish sense, but in a way that makes you feel healthy and emotionally well-balanced. My paintings, in an odd way, I would say are like friends, but what's even better is that I know all of the artists, and they're the best friends to have. Knowing the artist, I think, is actually better than owning the painting.
Okay, so in your book also, it's full of tips about collecting.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk a little bit about the economy and collecting, because really the economy is still pretty much in critical shape. And,
absolutely,
you know, people are watching their budgets, so they're not really buying that much. Why should people buy art at this time, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, people are not buying much of anything, let alone art.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I think it's important for me to say that I write about art really in three ways. I write about art in my world, I write about the art world, and I write about art and how it functions in the world at large. I really want people to know that artists are everywhere and they are struggling. You can buy simple drawings from some talented artists in your own community for 10, 20 bucks each, really. And of course, that's very low end, and that's entry level when it comes to the collecting world, because art is extremely expensive. But I just want to give people an idea that great art is accessible and affordable. But more importantly, art for me restores my own sense of calm and humanity. It makes me more creative. It makes me feel like I'm back in touch with my soul after a long day at work. It really it makes me more patient, I would say, and trains my eye and makes me more observant in everyday life. I can use all of this in my life every day. I think that art serves so many practical functions in the world, and I go through much of this in the books that I write.
Well, how exactly do you think that art functions in the world?
I think that art is ultimately about human expression and connection, and artists, through their work, they ask questions about the meaning of life, how does society function, how we're here. I think art also holds up a mirror before us and really forces us to look at ourselves as individuals. Art isn't just about, you know, hanging a painting on your living room wall or putting a sculpture on a table. I think it's also about using our own personal creative vision to create the kind of world and the kind of life and experience that we all say we want.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Michael Corbin. He is the author of the multi-award-winning The Art of Everyday Joe, A Collector's Journal. And you can find out more about Michael and his books at artbookguy.com. You know, a home environment with art, it has a very different energy than a home environment without it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am sitting here right now in my den, talking on the phone to you, of course, and here in my den, every wall is really covered. I have everything hanging salon style, meaning, you know, basically stacks upon stacks of paintings hanging on the wall. And just living with art, that's another reason why I titled the book The Art of Everyday Joe. There's also an essay in the book called The Art of Everyday Joe. I wanted people to understand that when you live with art, you know, I could be in the bathroom brushing my teeth and I'll walk outside the bathroom and look at paintings on the walls. Art just really gives you this great sense of security, and it really stokes your own personal creativity and gives you insight into things that you perhaps never would have thought of. I think also just living with the art and being surrounded by the art, Juanita, it really has brought forth more writing. And it's an osmosis kind of thing. I think you can't really explain it, nor should you really try to. You should just go with it. Once you get into the writing zone and the creative zone, just go with it. It's so funny because you hear a lot of corporate leader types and a lot of business people say that they want to think outside the box and they want to get more creative in their business. If they truly want to do this, they don't necessarily have to go to a class. I think they should visit an art museum, go to an art gallery, talk with an art professional or an art teacher, have an art teacher hold a retreat at an artist, retreat somewhere. That is really what's going to make us more creative, living with art, looking at art, understanding art, and don't really question the process. Just allow the creativity in the piece that you see to flow through you, and it'll really affect your life in ways that you could not possibly imagine.
That is so inspiring. Do you find that most artists are really willing to talk about their creative process?
Yes. I think many of them are actually dying to do that, hoping that they can, ultimately sell their art. I think, you know what, though, it's so funny. I try not to get too involved in the technique part of things. I am talking to you right now on a telephone. I have no idea how this phone works. I have in front of me my laptop. I have no idea about the intricate workings of a laptop. However, I am enjoying both of these things the same way that I would enjoy a painting. The mystery of it all is very interesting. I don't have to know how an artist creates a painting to enjoy the finished product. And quite frankly, it's like going to your grandmother's house for Thanksgiving dinner. You just want to enjoy the dinner. You don't necessarily want to know about all the work involved in creating the actual, dinner that's laid out beautifully on the table. And so for me as a collector, that's the great thing. I do enjoy talking with artists about how they did this or that or light and shadow. But ultimately for me, because we all work hard, we want to enjoy oftentimes the finished product of things. And that really is the case with me when it comes to collecting.
So on the whole idea of collecting, you bring in a lot of tips into your book. Would you please mention some here today?
Sure. I think that there are many things that people can do. However, just in getting started, I think the first thing that people need to do is just, go out to a museum, go to your local art gallery, visit these places, and train your eye. Try to figure out what it is that you like, what it is you don't like. Why do you like it? Why don't you like it? Visit art fairs. Go to your local high school. High schools have art shows now. Colleges have art shows now. And walk up to the artists and talk to these people. Ask them, how much is this? How much is that? If you can't afford what they are offering, ask them if they do, small drawings or small paintings. Tell them what you can afford, and perhaps they can come up with something on the spot, literally, that you can afford. Again, once you buy that first painting, I promise you, you will be hooked. But ultimately, work through your intimidation and work through the fear. If you feel you're being snubbed or you feel that you're not connecting with a particular art dealer or a particular artist, that's okay. That's life. Just move on to the next thing.
Now, what about gallery showings? I just want to throw that in there.
Sure.
A lot of people are very intimidated by the idea of going to a gallery showing.
Oh, yeah. Because, galleries are, let's face it, galleries are businesses. They are in it. Most of the people who work in galleries, they are, trained art professionals. They're very knowledgeable about art, and they're wonderful people. I have to tell you, I know a lot of art dealers. But I think you have to remember that what they're doing is a business, and like everything else, they are struggling and fighting for their survival. In the past year, there have been quite a few galleries that have gone under. But I think that what people have to do is, and this is what I do most of the time, being a writer and being an author, most of the time, I would say at least 90, 95% of the time when I go into an art gallery, I don't go in with an idea that I'm going to necessarily buy anything because, quite frankly, many art galleries I cannot afford. But I go in with the idea that I'm going to train my eye. I go in with the idea that I'm just going to let the art wash over me. I'm just going to have an experience with the art. Now, of course, this is something that an art dealer is not going to want to hear. They want to know that you're going to go in there to buy art. But when you have a greater sense of what it is you like and what you can afford, you will have an easier time actually finding artists who do the type of work that you actually like and that appeals to you. So again, work through the intimidation and you know, don't let that keep you from experiencing life. You know what? If we let fear grab hold of us, we'll never do anything in life.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what you think is a bigger factor in a purchase of a first buy art piece, if it would be budget or how much that piece really moves you.
I think, well, both,
mm-hmm.
but I think what people should have uppermost in their minds is what moves you. Because, again, art is not just about, you know, hanging that painting on the wall. You'll get that painting if you can afford it. You'll hang it on your wall. And you'll find that it affects you in ways that you had not anticipated. You know, sometimes you'll look at a painting and think, oh, that reminds me back when I was in first grade, when I was in school, and such thing happened. Or it reminds me of when I got married. Or whatever your personal life experience is. I really think that you should use your, you know what, trust your own inner voice and your own, it's funny being a guy saying this, but trust your own intuition and your inner voice about what it is you like and dislike. Let that guide you. And if you can't afford it, of course, being able to afford it is always a huge issue. But try to find out what you like and what you don't like and trust your own sense of that. And if you do that, I think you will rarely make a mistake.
Such great advice. Michael, what's your next project? I know that you have a third book here coming out in the Collector's Journal. At least that's
indeed
what I've heard. Mm-hmm.
Well, since my books are memoirs, the next book will really be a continuation of my experiences with art. I think it will include, well, I know it will include more actual interviews with artists. It'll be even more fun and even more like a storybook. I like writing about art in a storybook kind of way. It's really a storybook for adults. All of the books are storybooks for adults. It'll capture more of the urban landscape of art and how art functions in our lives every day. But, you know, I really focus on making my books more of a dialogue rather than a monologue. If you're reading my book and you find yourself almost talking back to me, then I know that I'm doing my job as an author. That's what I love. So I think the third book will be even more engaging than the second book, and it should be out by next fall.
Well, I think that that's so important. That's a very unique way of writing, but people want that because, you know, as we've talked about here throughout our whole time today, most people are quite intimidated, and you've made this subject so accessible in the way that you're writing.
You know, one of the things that I do is after I have written an essay, or actually even while I'm writing the essay, there's sort of a mantra that I have taken up for myself. I say, talk the book, don't write it. And I talk what I have written. After I have written something, I read it out loud to myself. And if it connects to me, you know, through my ear, then that's what I think is really going to connect to the reader. You know, I want them to feel almost as if I'm right there with them having a conversation rather than they're reading a book, in as much as it's possible to make that happen anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've carried that over into your website, artbookguy.com, as well.
I have tried. I really want people to feel that art, again, is warm and inviting, but looking at my website, really by looking at the website and reading my books, I want people to feel, again, that they're having a conversation with me. This is ultimately what art has done for me, and I want readers to feel a casual friendliness with art. You know, art is so, especially when you go into a museum, art is so formal and it's often stiff and starchy. And through my website, I'm really using myself and making art, I think, I hope, more human for people and less academic. The website seems, as because it's called Art Book Guy, it seems as if it's about me, but it's really about giving people permission to develop their own personal ideas about art. It's still a work in progress, but I think the website is getting there. I'm really pleased with the way it's coming together.
Oh, it's a great site, and you're blogging?
Yeah, oh yes, plenty of blogs on the website. I write quite a bit. You know, it is so interesting because once I have written something, I have to sit there and decide, okay, do I want to, I also write for AbsoluteArts.com. I often ask myself, okay, what do I want to give to AbsoluteArts.com? What do I want to actually put on my website as a blog, and what do I want to say for the book? And I'm finding more and more that I want to say things for the book, but it's so important, Juanita, as you know, to keep putting your writing out there, you know, things that are not necessarily going to be in the book. So some of the things that I have written as blogs on the website will indeed be in the next book. So it gives people an idea, a sort of an idea, minus pictures of the art, of what the next book and what the current books are and will be. But I think blogging is so important. It's almost like working out. You have to keep working those writing muscles and getting reaction from the public by putting things out in blogs to see, you know, how they will play in a book.
Absolutely. And you have an article coming out in, as I mentioned earlier, the American Style magazine in the October issue.
Yes, that actually is American Style. They called me, a few months ago because they were working on the October issue is actually an issue about art collecting.
Mm.
And they wanted to just chat with me. We did a pretty lengthy interview, only a minute amount of which appears in the magazine, but it's just fantastic. They pulled out a couple of big quotes from me, which is great, and they interviewed various collectors all over the country about art collecting. And the section of the magazine is called Masters of Their Domain, and it talks about how all of these different art collectors, including myself, and they talk about Everyday Joe, the book. But it's really about collecting and getting more people into collecting and helping people to understand that, you know, art collecting is something that is not just in the realm of, you know, people who are wealthy.
The elite, right. Mm-hmm. I love this subject matter. Michael, it's been so great talking with you today. You've really brought the whole idea of art and collecting into a really understandable, cohesive dialogue, and I know our listeners will really appreciate our interview today.
Great. Thank you so much, Juanita, for having me. And again, if people want to learn more about the books, please feel free to go to www.artbookguy.com. And you can also contact me through the website as well, artbookguy@hotmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Michael. All the best to you. I mean, you are well on your way. This is an award-winning series, so I know that there is a big buzz around you right now. So all the best, and let's have you back when you come up with the third book next year.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. You take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We've been talking today with Michael Corbin. As mentioned, he is the author of the multi-award-winning The Art of Everyday Joe, A Collector's Journal. It's an art memoir. It's also a collecting guide, a tribute to living artists, and a testament to the power of art in our world. So thank you so much. Tune in again. Until next time, I'm Juanita Watson.